The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. Please turn to page 136 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Amen. There is a term called the banality of evil. It is from the book of a Holocaust survivor, author and political theorist Hannah Arendt from Germany. The book is titled Eichmann in Jerusalem, A Report on the Banality of Evil. The banality of evil is the concept that something that people do not question and carry out with any thought can be evil. Arendt argued that evil acts in history, such as the Holocaust, were not committed by fanatics or people with antisocial personality disorders, but by ordinary people who conformed to the state and regarded their actions as entirely normal. When the Nazis committed mass murder of Jews, Hannah Arendt escaped from Germany and took refuge in the United States. It was only natural for Arendt, who felt a great deal of threat from the Nazis due to her Jewish ancestry, to become deeply interested in the Holocaust. In 1960, Mossad, an Israeli intelligence agency in charge of overseas intelligence collection and operations, arrested Otto Adolf Eichmann, a Nazi German SS officer and person in charge of the Holocaust, in Buenos Aires, the capital of Argentina, and transported him to Jerusalem. The following year, in 1961, a public trial was held, and Arendt, who was observing the trial, wrote a critique of Eichmann and published it as a book, which is Eichmann in Jerusalem. Arendt was convinced that Eichmann was a very evil and devilish person for his role in the Holocaust. But to the contrary, he actually seemed kind and quite ordinary. And in the public trial, Eichmann protested that he had only faithfully carried out the instructions of his superiors regarding the evil deeds that he had committed. The concept that came to mind while thinking about how a seemingly good and ordinary person like Eichmann could commit such an atrocity is the banality of evil. Even if good people like Eichmann do not harbor evil intentions, some of the ordinary things that they do, that they do not question, can be evil. There is a movie that illustrates the banality of evil, a movie called Music Box that came out in 1989. Mike Laszlo is a middle-aged man who immigrated from Hungary after World War II to the United States to escape the communist regime. So he is a staunch anti-communist. When a Hungarian folk art troupe toured to the United States, he staged a protest at the concert hall defaming the communist regime. His wife passed away when he was young, and he worked at a factory for 37 years and raised his daughter and son. He was especially fond of his daughter Anne Talbot, a lawyer, and his grandson Mikey Talbot. He was an extremely caring father and grandfather to his family. He loved his grandson, for whom he prayed before bedtime, told him lessons of life, and taught him horseback riding. He was also an ordinary grandfather who enjoyed watching comedies and a person of faith who toured the church's cemetery. He was an exemplary Hungarian-American. Then one day, Mr. Laszlo received a summons from the Ministry of Justice. The plan was to strip him of his American citizenship and deport him to Hungary to stand trial for war crimes. The reason was that in the naturalization application submitted to acquire American citizenship, he concealed the fact that he had previously been a member of the infamous police special unit called Arrow Cross, controlled by the German SS in Hungary. Mr. Laszlo asked his daughter to defend him. Anne said she specializes in criminal cases and said she would hire a top immigration lawyer to prove her father's innocence. But her father remained stubborn. Anne's co-workers and other experts also tried hard to dissuade her, saying it was a bad idea to represent a family member. But Anne accepted her father's request and decided to take on the case. So in order to focus on this, she took a leave of absence from her firm and went to her father-in-law's firm. In fact, Anne was divorced, and she prepared her argument there. Anne, who greatly respected her father, believed this incident had been plotted by the communist regime in Budapest through forged documents in order to punish her father for his anti-communist activities. Mr. Laszlo also said to his daughter, "I'm a decent person who raised my children. I did not hurt anyone," he said. The trial finally began in a federal court in Chicago. The fact that the judge was Jewish was a serious threat to Anne. But the good news was that he was fair. The prosecutor submitted as evidence the identification card and signature at the time, proving that Mr. Laszlo was a member of the police special unit in question. A handwriting expert also testified that it was identical to Mr. Laszlo's signature recorded on the naturalization application. Afterward, several witnesses came forward and testified about how Mr. Laszlo, or Mishka, as he was called at the time, had committed such terrible acts without a sense of guilt. Mishka, or Laszlo, along with his superior, who had a long scar on his face, tied two people up with wire, saying they were running out of bullets, and shot them only once before throwing them into the Danube River. The witness said he saw people killed like that 30 times. He also killed the father of one child and then shot the crying child. He would rape, pull out a gold tooth of a person, or severely torture others in other ways, as if it was a game. People were so scared of him that they couldn't even look at Mishka. After hearing the witnesses' testimonies, Anne went out and cried out, "Father is not a devil. I am the daughter. I know my father well." Later, Anne refuted everything the witnesses said through the cross-examination. One of the prosecution's witnesses identified his son as a Communist Party official in Budapest, and another confessed that he had rehearsed with a person who stood before him on the witness stand. Anne also brought a former KGB agent who had defected to stand to testify and obtained a testimony that in the past, the KGB had forged documents related to war crimes and used them for political purposes, and that Hungary had been the most active in these operations. A key witness based in Budapest could not attend the trial in the U.S., so the judge, prosecutor, and lawyer went to Budapest. The witness also said that Laszlo must be the human butcher Mishka, but he had twice previously pointed to someone else as Mishka. The judge dismissed the case before hearing Laszlo's testimony and thus officially closed the case. However, although Anne won the trial, she felt uncomfortable. Before Anne left for Budapest, an office worker had provided her with an address. It was the address where her father's friend's sister lived. The friend died in a car accident 3 years ago, and Anne's father sent his sister checks regularly. In the past, when Anne asked her father who she was to send her so much money, her father reprimanded her more harshly than she thought was necessary. The sister of her father's friend who lived in the slums gave Anne a piece of paper saying it had been sent to her by her brother before he died. It was a pawn ticket. The younger sister said, "I don't know what my brother entrusted to me, but please send it to me as it is his last keepsake." As Anne left the house after the conversation, she saw a picture hanging on the wall. The photo was of her father's friend, actually his boss, with his sister. And there was a long scar on his father's friend's face. Back in Chicago, Anne went to a pawn shop and retrieved the entrusted item. It was a music box. A music box is a device that automatically plays built-in music when you open the cover or press a button. When the party celebrating her father Laszlo's innocence was in full swing outside in the garden, Anne opened the music box alone in the car. As the spring was released, music began to flow, and along with the music, several black and white photos kept on the back of the music box emerged. The vivid photos showed the exact cruel scenes that witnesses described in court were actually committed by Laszlo. He had lied. Anne could not tolerate her father's lies and hypocrisy. There should at least have been an apology to the countless victims, but her father didn't even flinch an eyebrow as he dismissed all the witnesses as communists. He wouldn't even tell his daughter the truth. Anne mailed the photos and materials to the prosecutor. And the next day, the news that her father, Laszlo, is a war criminal, was featured in the morning newspaper, and the movie ends with Anne hugging her son, Mikey. This film goes beyond showing the banality of evil and explicitly exposes what hypocrites humans are. The me on the outside and the me on the inside. The me dressed up to be seen by others, and the me when no one is around, are not the same at all. The same goes for faith. What level of faith I think I have and my actual level of faith are not the same. Also, my level of speaking about faith and my level of actually living a religious life are not the same. Peter, in today's passage, illustrates this. After sharing the last Passover meal on earth with his disciples, Jesus followed his habit and prayed at the place where he always prayed. Although Jesus is God and the eternal Son of God, he was fully human while he was on this earth. So it wasn't an easy task to bear the cross for the eternal life of the people. So he asked his disciples to pray for him. And Jesus himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." When the prayer was over, a group of people, including the high priests and other religious leaders, came to Jesus to arrest him. It was absurd and sad, but the person who led those people and came first was Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Since Jesus always prayed in the same place, Judas would have known that place. Finally, with Judas' kiss of betrayal, Jesus was arrested. And this is what happened afterward. This is verse 54. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. The fact that people took Jesus to the high priest's house means they placed him in the highest religious court at the time. At the time, Israel's highest decision-making body and highest legal body was the Sanhedrin Council. The chairman of the council was the high priest, and there were 70 members. The Sanhedrin, composed of 71 members, convened only during the day to ensure proper trial and fair execution. However, their anger and worldly desire to have Jesus put to death blinded them, so they did not feel the slightest sense of guilt about bringing Jesus to trial in the middle of the night. At the time, Peter was following Jesus from afar and was watching what happened. There was a time when Peter could not catch a single fish, even though he let out his net all night long in the Sea of Galilee. Then Jesus told them to go into the deep and let down their nets to catch fish. He obeyed and lowered the net, and so many fish were caught that the net tore apart. That event eventually became a turning point and milestone in Peter's own life. So he left everything and followed Jesus. However, that was only the beginning of becoming a disciple of Jesus and not the completion. Jesus continued to speak of the kingdom of God, but Peter, along with the other disciples, was dreaming of the kingdom of God they envisioned, their own empire. But now Jesus was caught and was being tried against the law. If Jesus revealed his true self as he did on the Mount of Transfiguration, others would have realized who he was. Peter may have been planning to appear at that moment, saying that he was a disciple of Jesus. Since all the other disciples had run away, it was both a crisis and opportunity for him, as in the term high risk, high return. So he followed at a distance. This is what happened to Peter, who was a considerable distance away from where Jesus was on trial. These are verses 55 through 57. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him," but he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. The time was early April, according to today's system. The temperature was warm in the daytime, but due to the large daily temperature range, it was presumably quite chilly at night. So the people were warming themselves with a fire. Peter was also sitting quietly among them. At that time, a servant girl came up to Peter. According to the Gospel of John, she was a servant girl who guarded the door of the high priest's house. As she passed by, she saw Peter among the people. Then she took a closer look. The verb translated into looked closely, attenizo, means to gaze or to observe. The Chinese characters for the word pay attention in Korean consist of the characters for pouring water and the character for eye. When pouring liquid, such as oil or water, into a bottle, we look intently. We look to see if too much is poured so that the liquid overflows, or whether the other bottle is properly lined up, or whether the bottle the liquid is being poured into is full. The servant girl looked at Peter in the same manner. Then she said, "This man was with him." Peter, who was momentarily taken aback, refuted and said, "Woman, I do not know him." In today's words, it could be, "What is up with this woman? I don't know that person." When people are cornered, they tend to lie. Of course, lying isn't just because of that instinct to protect themselves. People also lie to appear better than they actually are. Even if you didn't intend on lying, you may exaggerate or understate something during a conversation, add facts that did not happen, and make up other people's business as if it were your own. The people around the fire with Peter had no way to verify the servant girl's words. Also, the people did not listen to what the servant girl said. This is because people were interested in how Jesus' trial progressed and how it was concluded. But the situation in the yard did not end there. This is verse 58. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. After some time, another person appeared and said something similar to the servant girl, and Peter also denied it with the same words. The situation was making Peter more and more uncomfortable. This is verse 59. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Matthew chapter 26, verse 73 says the following about the same scene. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." After Peter said for the second time that he did not know Jesus, after some time had passed, another person appeared. He said, "This man was also with him. This man is from Galilee." The Gospel of Matthew says, "You are certainly one of them." Telling by your accent, it is clear who you are, he said with conviction. As in Korea, where the Seoul dialect and local dialect have different vowel pronunciations, the Jerusalem dialect and the Galilee region had slightly different pronunciation of vowels. It is also said that people in the Galilee region were not good at pronouncing guttural consonants such as K, G, and Sh. So he was assured that Peter, who had a different accent from him, was a member of Jesus' group. The original meaning of assured is to bet with all one's might to be certain. It has a similar meaning to, "I bet my hands that this man is from the Galilee region and was with Jesus." The reason this man spoke with such confidence was not just because of Peter's accent. Even though Peter was speaking in a Galilee dialect, Jesus' disciples were not the only people from Galilee in Jerusalem. There was an additional reason why this man was assured that Peter was in the same group as Jesus. This is John chapter 18, verse 26. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" The man was a witness to Peter swinging his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane. Moreover, he was a relative of the person whose ear was cut off. Nevertheless, Peter reacted in the following way. This is verse 60. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. He clearly recognized Peter, but Peter remained in denial. The more convincing the witness's words were, Peter had to deny in a stronger manner. So according to Matthew chapter 26, at this moment, Peter cursed and even swore, emphasizing that he had nothing to do with Jesus. However, the fact that Peter cursed when he denied knowing Jesus doesn't mean that he used vulgar language toward Jesus, but rather that he would be cursed if his words saying that he did not know Jesus were false. After three denials, the rooster crowed, as Jesus had said. Just a few hours earlier, Jesus had spoken to his disciples as they finished their last Passover meal. "This very night, you will all fall away on account of me." At the time, Peter said, "By no means would this happen." The four Gospels record the scene as the following: "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Peter was sincere. He truly wanted to be with Jesus till the end and was prepared to give up his life for Jesus. So when Jesus was taken away, he swung a sword and cut off the right ear of the high priest's servant in an attempt to resist the situation. But that was it. Peter was confident that he could stay with Jesus till the end if he put himself up to it. But at the moment when Jesus prayed desperately in the Garden of Gethsemane, he fell into a deep sleep. And when he saw Jesus being dragged away, he began to get scared. So he denied knowing Jesus at the high priest's house. The words of denial that came from Peter were like music built into a music box. Making a decision and carrying this out are not the same thing. It's like saying that there is a difference between a student entering an advanced school, deciding to study hard and actually studying hard, and becoming a good student as a result. Of course, you do need to make up your mind first. But this is only the beginning and not the result. Peter thought he could follow Jesus till the end with his own determination and strength. But he didn't realize that he didn't have the ability to do so. This is the same for all of us. Because we humans are sinners by nature, we cannot follow the Lord by our own will or ability. So every moment, we should not trust ourselves, but should trust the Lord and walk the path of our given calling and mission. In the movie I mentioned at the beginning, Anne wins in court, but is angry at the thought that her father had completely deceived people, even her family. While a garden party celebrating her father's innocence was being held outside, Anne got into a heated argument with her father, Laszlo, inside. The conversation went like this. Anne says, "You killed this child. It was you. You killed this child." As the father watched on, "I went to the Danube River where you dumped the body of a woman after raping her. You shot a crying child in the head as he clung to his dead mother. The child was only 7 years old. You are a beast. I saw these scenes in pictures." Laszlo said, "What photo are you talking about?" Anne said, "I saw the scar in the photo, that long scar the witnesses were talking about." "How could you, father? Why? I'd like to hear from you." Laszlo says, "I love you. What happened to you? have you been brainwashed by the Communist Party? And changes her expression and says, I will never see you again. My father is dead. Why don't you tell the truth? Leslo says, tell the truth? What happened to you? I have friends here and there. Believe me, I am not a beast. Even in the face of certain facts, it is the nature of a person to deny till the end. As I mentioned, the title of this movie is Music Box. A music box comes with pre-selected music. Whether you open the box in Korea, Japan, or China, the same music plays. Also, whether you open it in the morning, in the evening, in the summer, or in the winter, no other music plays. Even if the box looks different from outside, the music inside is the same. As long as the mainspring inside the box is not broken, the same music will be played no matter how much time passes. Our human nature is like a music box with songs of sin and death built into it. You may be able to package the outside, but you cannot change the inside. Because we cannot stand before God with our sinful human nature, we believe in Jesus Christ, because He is the one who changes the song of sin and death built into us into a song of eternal life. Now let us make Jesus Christ, who overcame this world, the purpose of our lives till the day we die on this earth. When we live that life faithfully, we will see the music of death in us be changed to the music of life. And when we take our last breath on earth and stand before God, we will sing, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Let us pray. Father God, we cannot deny that we are like Peter, who regarded Jesus as Christ and spent 3 years with him, learning from him, but denied Jesus 3 times before others. We cannot say that we are not like Laszlo, who till the end kept the truth from his daughter and justified himself. We confess that the song from the music box of our lives were for our selfishness and for making ourselves appear better than we are. Please accept us as we are and change the springs that have been wired to play the songs of sin and worldly values. So may the song of our lives that seek delusions stop playing, and may the song that thinks what is visible to the eye is all that exists be put to an end. May we sing of you, Lord, who is the truth, and may our lives sing of eternal life. We do not know how long each of our lives on this earth will last, but let us live dwelling in you, Lord, who has overcome this world, and let us live a life of truth and life with you until the day we die. And so when we breathe our last and stand before you, may we sing, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.